Welcome into the 2022 NFL Draft Recap Day 2 podcast. JP Shadrick, Bucky Brooks, John Osier, and Ashlyn Sullivan. The Jaguars did not have a second round pick. They had 2 third round picks. No moving up. They considered moving down. They liked the players that were on the board at number 65 and 70, and they come away with an offensive lineman in Luke Fortner from Kentucky and linebacker Chad Muma from Wyoming. So let's start on the offensive line. And, it's a position in the interior of the offensive line that's in a state of change for this organization. Brandon Linder's gone. Shatley's been re-signed. There's question at left guard. Here we go. This is Luke Fortner on the offensive line, Osher.
Yeah, you knew they were going to go this route at some point. I think a couple of minutes before the pick, I kind of looked at Bucky and said, it looks like interior offensive lineman here. Just because I don't know who will start, but this kid's going to play center. He was asked on the conference call about starting at center. He expressed confidence about it. You knew they weren't going to go in with only a limited number of people who could snap the ball. So they bring him in. He's the first selection of the third round. He's a guy who I would expect, if he doesn't start the opener, to start very soon this season. That's what you draft interior offensive lineman to do in the third round.
What do you think, Bucky? What's he do well?
Look, man, this is a tough guy to point of attack. High IQ guy who great communication skills, will do a great job of keeping everyone lined up and engaged. He can battle in the phone booth, which is what you need. But really, he's smart enough to understand how to play with his neighbors beside him. And so he doesn't need to be a guy that is absolutely mashing people at the point of attack, but he understands how to be a part of the puzzle, and I think that is necessary at the point of attack.
Ashlyn, how was he in the press conference?
Very excited. It was interesting when we talked to Phil Rauscher, the offensive line coach, and he mentioned his versatility, and he can play maybe at left guard and center. And then it seemed in the press conference, Doug Peterson was pretty sure that he was going to be battling for the center job. So very interesting to see how this shakes out, but it seemed like Doug was confident that this is going to be a guy that could possibly be the starting center.
They had to get back to the point of comfort that they've had for a long time around here, which is having a guy, whether it's Fortner or Shatley, who isn't starting but who they feel good about at all those positions, because they've had that luxury. You've got to have it at this point. Look, if Fortner does come in and start, that's not a knock on Shatley. He's been a great player in that role for a long time. And that's almost, as you look at the entirety of your roster, you better have that guy. He's one of, if that position's not one of your top 22, it's one of your top 30 positions on that team. That's a guaranteed spot, a spot you've got to have. One of these two guys is going to hold it. Again, I would just expect it to be Fortner, because top 65 in the draft, that's a premium selection. That's almost the second round. It's only one spot shy of the second round.
There you go.
Thanks, John.
Good math.
Appreciate that. And by the way, I mean, Shatley's made a career off that, being the backup swing guy, emergency starter for 3, 4, 5 games, whatever that case is. You can make a career like that, Bucky, and Shatley's certainly done that.
He certainly has made a career like that, but obviously you would like to get younger, even cheaper at the position. You want someone who has long-term potential. The guy's drafted in the third round. You want to give him an opportunity to compete. And so ultimately this will be one. Is Shatley able to use enough old man tricks to kind of find a way to can keep the job? Can he be a guy that excels and the offense flows with him, where the coaches are uncomfortable making a move because it derails maybe the flow of the offense?
If you think about the offensive line as a whole now, you love the fact that you can name off 7 guys who you feel pretty good, who you should feel pretty good about being in there. The starters, and then at right tackle, Juwan Taylor or Walker Little, I assume, will start. You feel good about whoever's not starting there. I don't know if you feel great about Fortner yet. He's a rookie. You've never seen him play. But in theory, you should feel good about either Fortner or Shatley playing guard or center. So you're back to that number you need, and you've brought Will Richardson back. So it feels like they're back to having, I think you need 8, pretty much. And then, after that, you start taking your chances. But you've got to feel good now about 7, 8 offensive linemen. That's the number you need to get back to. It feels like with this pick, they did that.
Let's move along to the 70th overall pick in the third round, linebacker Chad Muma from Wyoming. And it's quite a change in the linebacker room this year for the Jaguars organization. Miles Jack is gone. He's now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They bring in Foye Oluokun in free agency. They bring in Devin Lloyd in the first round last night. They've got Chad Muma now in the third round. Ashlyn, a guy who was very productive at Wyoming.
Yeah, it was. I really appreciated his honesty, and he was saying, you know, I really didn't think it was going to be Jacksonville. And finally, someone asked, well, why not? He's like, well, they drafted Devin Lloyd, and I thought that was going to be the linebacker. But then Trent Baalke made a great point in his press conference that you can never have enough of these guys, and to have some backups is never a bad thing. And who knows who the starters are going to be, but it was just the candor of him. He was like near tears in his press conference, in his interview. The best thing of all is we get off the interview and he asked myself and the PR staff if we can get a coach on the call because he wants someone to overnight him a playbook. And there was no like, oh, look at me, like it's an interview. Like, he was genuine, like, I want to get to work tonight.
All right.
Like, did you send him yours?
Yeah. I have one on. It's already at FedEx.
His email it to him. Hey, I'm a big believer that when people talk about teams, they spend way too much time. They look at the depth chart and you see a couple of starters, you say, well, they're set there. And that's really not the case, because once you get into the season, all of a sudden in October you get injury there, and all of a sudden you're not set there, and it's a huge weakness. This team hasn't had enough good players over the last, what, except for 2017,
forever.
10 years.
Forever.
So it's okay to have a spot where if one of those top two guys get hurt, you're not panicking and sitting in the press box with your head in your hands going, well, here we go again. So I know Bucky can speak to this as well. When you add linebackers and a secondary in the draft, you're adding them in two spots. You're adding them where they play, and you're adding them on special teams. And Bucky, I talked about it, but I'd rather have you talk about it. This is where you add speed and dynamic athletic ability to your team. You don't really do it on the offensive line or defensive line necessarily. Visually, when these guys are fast, you're a fast team.
Yeah, you're a fast team, and it shows up in your defensive, not in your defensive room, but also in your special teams. We talk about the linebackers have to play those roles. They're your core special teamers. Kickoff coverage, punt coverage, those are the guys that play. They cover kicks. They do things. They work in the return game a little bit, but you know you're going to get that. I think as you're trying to upgrade the team, and we're building it to be at a championship level, it needs to be where you have enough blue-chip players that are vying for playing time. And so Muma comes in. He is a different style player than Devin Lloyd. So even though they both have LB listed beside their name, they play the game in a different fashion. And so when you think about the ability to throw a bunch of different combinations at teams as you're blitzing them, Muma's a great fit. I think he and Devin Lloyd, their team have made a nice tandem.
Buck, you've already talked about this on our broadcast earlier, but you were excited about Devin Lloyd last night. When you first saw this Muma pick, I thought your excitement was just about that level. You like this kid a lot.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I had both of those guys listed as like top five linebackers in the draft. I expected Muma to come off the board somewhere in the second round because, to me, he's a guy that should compete for a starting role. If you want a visual picture of who he should play like, think about Logan Wilson, the linebacker from Cincinnati. He's a better version of what Logan Wilson is. Logan Wilson was a starter for a Super Bowl team who made a ton of plays. This kid is athletic. He's like one of the new school linebackers that can cover running backs and tight ends and do things. He can blitz. He just stuffs the stats. And I know we talked about it on the previous show. We talked about the green dot. I thought it was important when Trent Baalke talked about he's a guy who can wear the green dot. Ashlyn, you talked about him wanting the playbook. Mm-hmm. He's a communicator. He's a traffic cop. He may be alleviating some of the pressure on the other guys from having to call it because he understands how to process it, call, and get everyone lined up while still being able to play at a high level.
Yeah, and he mentioned that in his interview, the amount of games and times and different scenarios where he has been the play caller and the communicator, and it's something he said he prides himself on. And I told him what Trent Baalke said about him. He goes, yeah, you know, that's exactly how I see myself, is the green dot guy.
And something else, Bucky, mentioned earlier, the fact that I think people look at Muma and say, well, they drafted him as a reserve because Devin Lloyd's on the team. But Bucky's of the belief that he helps this team get much more versatile defensively and can really play into what this defense is going to be in terms of disguising, in terms of being versatile, Bucky.
So I think when we talk about the versatility, we have to talk about the defense on a whole, and we'll get into it later after the draft is done. But you think about the pieces that have been assembled, Arden Key up front, being able to guy that can jump inside and sub packages and rush from inside. I know they talk about Trayvon Walker not moving around, but ultimately we say that, but by the time we get to the regular season, they'll be fascinating. They'll move him around, and he'll be standing up and doing all this other stuff. And so if you think about third down defense, that's where the fun typically happens. If the team is good and they can handle a high volume of stuff, that's when you see all the athletes. Hey, let's put the best 11 athletes on the field. Let's find a way to kind of junk up the game and make it tough for the quarterback. And so you have all these bodies walking around, moving, some guys blitzing, some guys dropping. That's when you get free runners. That's when the turnovers begin to happen.
I think that's key, JP, because I think when you first saw this guy's name, you're thinking of a depth chart with two linebackers already and thinking, well, this guy's going to play 10% of the snaps. But the reality is, in this day and age, in the modern NFL, a player like this is really going to be one of, what, 14 or 15 starters? Because that's how you have to think of the league these days.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is a throwaway pick where you're drafting a guy for depth and special teams. This is a guy who's going to matter in the defense the way they're seeing it.
Let's come back in a moment. We'll preview tomorrow. The Jaguars have six picks on the docket and a big press conference ahead. More in a moment. Welcome back to the 2022 NFL Draft Recap. Day two in the books. Day three tomorrow. Should be a busy day around here. We'll get to the draft picks first. Fifth round pick, 157th overall. Three sixth round picks. And then two seventh round picks. Well, do you just kind of play the chalk and go pick the board here? Or are you playing around with picks, Bucky? What do you think?
You kind of pick and choose. You kind of go around it. What you do is after tonight, you reassess where you are. The fourth round should be the key round because the fourth round is what we call the developmental player round. Once you get beyond that, you're talking about guys who are developmental players, but you're beginning to skew more towards free agent types. And a lot of times when you draft in the sixth and seventh round, you're drafting free agents that you want to secure, make sure you have. So the fourth round is if you're going to make moves, you want to make moves to get into the fourth round because you should be able to find guys who either had injuries and medical concerns, character concerns that kind of prevented them from being day one and day two guys, but they're really, really good football players. And normally that is where you find these guys. The guys that in the fourth round, there was something that was off that prevented them from being drafted higher, but they still may be really good players.
And you sort of wonder how Trent felt about this fourth round. And he was asked in the press conference a week ago about this being a really deep draft. I think I was the one who asked him. And he kind of said, well, he goes, at some positions, but he was sort of saying it was maybe not as deep as some of the analysts thought. By trading for Lloyd the other night, he gave up right now being in that fourth round. So you sort of wonder if he wasn't saying beforehand, hey, I don't love the fourth round the way some people do. I'd rather give up that spot and go get a guy I really like in the first round. I don't know if he was thinking that, but that's sort of the way it played out.
So here's what has happened. In talking to people around the league, they talked about this draft has been really good. It's really good second through fourth round, but it really drops off the cliff. Like once you get past the 150th player, there's a huge drop off. And so some of what you hear Trent alluding to is knowing, yeah, once I get to a certain point, the guys that we're taking, we're just taking. They're not necessarily guys that are going to buy for legitimate spots. So rather than either waste the picks, can I auction off some of the picks and either move them off into next year or move up this year? But I think you won't see those picks used on guys this year late in the rounds.
Devin Lloyd, press conference coming up. I saw that the plane has arrived tonight. I believe he'll be in the building tomorrow. I believe 10 o'clock is the press conference time. Ashlyn, is all that correct?
It is all correct.
10 o'clock.
He is in Jacksonville, and we'll see him at 10 o'clock.
We'll look forward to seeing and hearing that on Jaguars.com, of course, and the Jaguars social media channels. That'll do it for our podcast tonight. Luke Fortner, the 65th overall pick in the third round. Chad Muma, the linebacker from Wyoming, the 70th overall pick in the third round. Again, 10 o'clock tomorrow, the Devin Lloyd press conference. That's it for day two of the 2022 NFL Draft. For Ashlyn Sullivan, John Osier, Bucky Brooks, and Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you tomorrow afternoon.